it really hit home to me when there was that link between Bitcoin and time itself. So you have, you know, the universe scarcest resource in time, and then the hardest money that's ever existed in Bitcoin, and they're intimately linked together through the difficulty adjustment. And so, yeah, for me as a bit of a physics geek, it was one thing that really made me pay attention.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedman, and our guest today is Nathan Day, who's a tech entrepreneur and founder of BTCMap.org. He's built, sold, invested in, and advised tech businesses over the years, and he's now focused on Bitcoin, building BTCMap.org, Gamertron.net, and delivering Bitcoin education for kids. If you're a business owner and you've wondered how you can get more awareness that you're accepting Bitcoin, BTC Map is a great way to do that. We're going to get to our interview with Nathan in just a few minutes. But first of all, we have this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight. And this week, we're going to Bend, Oregon with the Bend, Oregon Bitcoin Meetup. Get ready to bend your mind with Bitcoin. Join the Bend Bitcoin Meetup to explore the exciting world of Bitcoin in a fun and relaxed environment. Their meetups feature lively discussions, guest speakers, and networking opportunities with like-minded individuals. Upcoming events include a beginner's guide to buying Bitcoin and a panel discussion on the future of decentralized finance. Don't be left behind. Come bend the future with us. You can find them on Twitter at BendBitcoin or on meetup.com. And if you want to attend a Bitcoin meetup, but you don't live in the Bend, Oregon area, I encourage you to download the Oshi app, where you'll be able to find the closest Bitcoin meetup to you. Now, we're going to get to our interview with Nathan right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Nathan, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Josh. Nice to be here.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. So you ready for these?
Yeah, sure. Shoot.
When and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
Well, I think like anyone, you hear about it way before you understand it. So I think I first heard about it back in 2017 or so. Dismissed it as a Ponzi scam before actually doing the work a little later. So I eventually fell down the rabbit hole in August of 21. So I'm class of 21, so relatively recently, but fell quite hard and fell quite quickly. So within, you know, a couple of weeks of ferocious reading and podcast listening, and understanding that everything I'd previously known about, pretty much everything, was untrue. Just wanted to then get into the space. So, you know, started working on a number of projects pretty much straight away.
So question number 2 is this: what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
Pretty techie, kind of like philosophical, but if you're familiar with Gigi's work and his article, Bitcoin is Time, there's some very deep links into physics all over Bitcoin in terms of proof of work and things like that. But I mean, it really hit home to me when there was that link between Bitcoin and time itself. So you have, you know, the universe scarcest resource in time, and then the hardest money that's ever existed in Bitcoin, and they're intimately linked together through the difficulty adjustment. And so, yeah, for me as a bit of a physics geek, it was one thing that really made me pay attention at that point. Most people probably don't get that deep, but certainly not, you know, as quickly as I did, but I always bring that up to people on their Bitcoin journey just to try and understand some of the fundamentals, really.
So you may have already answered this question to some degree based off of your last answer, but question number 3 is, what is the Bitcoin resource that you most recommend to others?
So yeah, Gigi's work is where I send people once they've understood some of the basics, but I often send them to the guys over at SeedSigner. So we have my SeedSigner here. I think this is really good for people to understand kind of wallets and seeds and signing devices and where their Bitcoin is. So if you're a noob, you know, you think your Bitcoin's in your wallet on your phone. And I think just playing around with the SeedSigner, creating some passphrases and having those exported, you know, with the QR codes and things like that. I think that just really helps people understand Bitcoin a bit better. And I think once you do that, you're a better Bitcoiner as a result of that.
So these next two questions, these final two questions, are a little bit separate from Bitcoin. But question number four is, beyond Bitcoin, what's the idea, resource, or tool that's been most helpful to you or your business recently?
We're super interested about Nostra right now. I don't know if you've been following Nostra at all, but it's you know, the pace of development on Nostra at the moment with all of the different clients. And for those people that are not familiar, it's a it's effectively a decentralized, distributed, however you want to define it, protocol that powers things like social media. You know, it's not limited to social media, but it's kind of what Bitcoin is to money. Nostra is to free speech, effectively. And so there's super exciting things happening there. And then the link to BTC Map is it actually helps power some of the features we want to develop in the future in terms of merchant reviews and how do you verify the identity of a reviewer. So much like in Bitcoin, where you have your private key pairs, you have effectively the same key pairs in Nostra as well. So we'll be able to start to link reviews to pub keys, in effect. Lightning over Nostra is really interesting right now. So these concepts of zaps, which means that people can send zaps via Nostra you're effectively identifying the sender and the receiver, but you're securing everything in between. So it means that you can attribute more easily where sats are coming from and to, and that's good in a sort of commercial environment or a merchant environment where you might want to do that.
Now, I want to pause here for a second just because Nostra, I'm using Nostra. I'm very much in the noob category. I know it's not been around that long, but there are some people who have really taken a lot of time to understand it. I am not one of those people. I'm curious. Yeah, I'm curious, what's the client that you're using right now? Because, you know, we talked, even in last week's episode, talked about how you have some sort of protocol and then you have different clients. And I'm not a tech person, so I could even be botching those terms. But what's the app that you use for Nostra?
Yeah, you're making a very important point there, which is it's a protocol, not a platform. And people moving over to it at first don't really understand the difference between those. So like a platform would be Twitter or Facebook. And ultimately those platforms control what gets said on those platforms and what algorithms are used to suggest posts to you and things. Whereas Nostra is a protocol, so it's more like the HTTP itself, so like the protocol that sits behind websites and web pages. So just like you can have many different web browsers to use the HTTP protocol, you can also have many clients that uses the Nostra protocol. So it separates those two things out more clearly. And that's great for innovation because it means that you can then use any device, any client that you like, that's tailored to, you know, whatever needs that you have. So I don't know what the total number of Nostra clients at the moment is, but there's probably, 10, 20 in frequent use. Don't know how many there are in total, but a lot. So I'm using Amethyst on Android right now. A guy called Victor and a small team are developing that. And they're releasing every day. So they're shipping new versions of the client pretty much every day. So the pace of change is insane. And also on desktop, I'm using snort.social, who is actually one of the core team of Snort on the design side. His handles Carnage. He's also the lead designer on BTC Map as well.
And for those who happen to have an Apple device, you can use Domus. And it's one of those things where this all sounds, and I don't understand it all, probably as well as you do because you have this tech background, but it's not hard to get started. You don't have to be a techie to get started.
No, you don't.
It does give you a little, you have a little bit more responsibility, right? Because you need to make sure that you take care of your private key and you don't want anyone to get access to that. But other than that, it's very easy to get started. So if you have an Android, Amethyst, if you have an iPhone, go ahead and look up Domus, and it's really easy to get started. I encourage people to at least check it out because you're really on the cutting edge of an exciting new protocol and a bunch of apps that are going to be available in the social media context.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's where all the Bitcoiners are hanging out as well. So it's great.
So question number five is this. We call it our arbitrary but insightful question. As a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
I struggled with this one because I could answer it both ways depending which side of the debate team I was on. I probably got down with why, I guess, to just challenge where you spend your time. I've always been pretty good with where I spend my time, but since finding Bitcoin, I really do focus much more. So I do tend to ask why should I be doing something rather than why not. But that said, you only live once as well, right? So we often say why, like, should we do this? And then if there's no good reason not to do it and there are good reason to do it, then we don't let the negatives hold us back as a family.
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out. Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. So today, Nathan, we're going to be talking primarily about btcmap.org. I wanted to let business owners who are listening to this podcast know about it so that if they want to, first of all, be on the map, they'll know about it and know how to get on the map or at least apply. I'm not even quite sure what your process is for that. And then second of all, it's fun to download the app, and see what's around you, see what's around the United States to be aware of. And I say United States because I'm in the United States. I know you're not based in the United States. But, you know, if you're going on a road trip, it's nice to know where you can go to spend Bitcoin or just meet up with other people who have a similar perspective on Bitcoin as you do. So could you just share with us a little bit about the inspiration for BTC Map and any other things that would be helpful for first timers just hearing about it to know?
Yeah, for sure. And just like you say, that's where BTC Maps Genesis was. I was going out to Baltic Honey Badger, which is a conference out in Riga, Latvia. And I was looking for places to spend sats. And there was no place that I could, you know, go website that would tell me that. So there were often smaller Google Maps that local communities have kind of cobbled together and were maintaining that data themselves. But in my background, sort of pre-Bitcoin, I did a lot of work in open data and also in and around the mapping space. So I knew about OpenStreetMaps, which is what we use. BTC Map is kind of like our open source mapping wiki. So it's a bit like Wikipedia, but for maps. So on OpenStreetMaps, you can add anything you like onto OpenStreetMaps. Sometimes that gets verified by other people, and if the data is not correct, you know, it gets rolled back, just like on Wikipedia. But that project's been going for at least a decade or so now, and it's got a really good data set in it. And so when I was looking for places to spend sats, I'd found this Android app that some guy had created just a couple of months prior. So this was in August of 22 last year, and he created it in earlier in the summer. And it was just on the F-Droid store, so it wasn't in Play. There was no social media around it. There was no website. There was nothing. It was just this application, really. But the thing that got my attention was that it was using OpenStreetMaps. And we were tagging merchants, so businesses, with particular tags. And that means you can then search on those merchants. So they're effectively querying that database in order to get data. So I just shot Iger is his name. He's one of the co-founders of BTC Map. There's four of us in total in the core team. And I just shot him an email that I had to find via his GitHub account or something. And then, yeah, we connected. And then later that weekend, we got the first MVP webpage up. Which was this terribly simple, not very good looking website, just to get the domain and to start the movement, really. And then I set the Twitter up that weekend in Riga, and within 24 hours, we had Second Light, who's the lead web dev, reach out to us and say he wanted to start to contribute. And then he brought along the designer Carnage, who has done all the design on the project. So yeah, within, you know, it was about 3 or 4 days, really. It went from I don't have a solution to we now have a team, and we've got a basis of a solution that we're now going to develop quite aggressively. And so that was, yeah, like I said, that was end of summer, early autumn. So in the 3 months, at the end of last year, we were shipping, you know, pretty much every day. And what you have now is quite a fully fledged web app that you can use to find your merchants. We're across iOS and Android. And so now, you know, if I'm flying to Riga next year, I can get my app out, the BTC map out, and I can find places to go spend some sats.
I do in just a second. You know, the other part of that question was how people can get on the app or how they have gotten on. But before we get to that portion, from what you've just shared, I'm sort of curious, is this a for-profit endeavor or just kind of a passion project based off of a need that you saw out in the space? How are you looking at this, and you know, what are your plans to grow in the future?
Good question. So right now it's an open source project, and therefore is not for profit. So we get some donations that come in. We have some sponsors that cover kind of our fixed costs. So, you know, we're not taking any salaries out of the business or anything like that. In fact, we're not even incorporated yet. It's just a loose collaboration of people and a multi-sig Bitcoin wallet right now. But that said, there is clearly a business opportunity ahead of us, and one that focuses around merchants, I think. So we've currently got around 9,000 merchants, I think, on the platform. And we're not really catering directly to their needs other than sending business their way. So, you know, there's an opportunity there to start to engage merchants directly. But that said, we would always keep the two parts of BTC Map separate. So there will always be a free and open source foundation layer. And the data itself is free and open source because it's in OpenStreetMaps. And so if we are going to build this commercialization layer on top of that foundation layer, they'd always remain separate. And hopefully the commercialization layer can then in turn begin to fund the foundation layer over time.
Could you help me understand the commercialization layer a little bit better? Like what would be some of the ways that the businesses could benefit from this?
So I don't know, if you think about fiat solutions, so you've got Yelp and you know, directory pages where businesses pay to have SEO friendly web pages for their sites. Right now, because we're still early in Bitcoin adoption, that's fairly important for engaging with your Bitcoiner customers as well. So how can you attract more Bitcoiners to your merchant? And so we talked earlier about Nostra integration and reviews. So how do I get a Yelp-like experience but built on a Bitcoin standard for Bitcoiners and not tied into any particular platform? There's also the other angle is, and some of our sponsorship reflects this, is payment providers as well. So we've got sponsorship from Swiss Bitcoin Pay and also Coinos, who are both Bitcoin payment providers. And so if we can start to focus on merchant onboarding as well, so how do we get merchants that are not yet accepting Bitcoin onto BTC Map? And as we onboard those merchants, how do we help them select the best point of sale solution required for their business? So, and obviously there's affiliate sort of deals that can be done in terms of revenue share on those types of relationships as well. So yeah, we've got a couple of ideas, but right now we're really focused on building out the merchant base, validating the data and verifying the data that's in the database, because we inherited some poor quality data that we're about 50% the way through cleansing right now, and building the community side as well. So a thing we've done on top of the merchants is building these community areas around the planet. So if you go to the website, you look on communities, you will see polygons, so areas that cover different patches of the planet, and they represent Bitcoin meetups. But what we've done is we've created these communities that have meetups and also have merchants within that area. And so those communities are now taking ownership of their local merchant data to make sure that it's verified and correct. So rather than a central team trying to verify 9,000 locations globally, we're pushing that responsibility down to the people that it matters to, which is the people that live there, right? So it's been amazing to see. So we've had some very aged data sources that haven't been verified, and communities from around the world have picked that up, verified it with up-to-date information, and you know, everyone has a better experience as a result of that.
And how are these communities made aware of it? Are you reaching out to meetup organizers and saying, hey, this is kind of an area that we're considering under or within your domain? Would you mind checking these out as you have the ability? Or do you take a different approach?
There's a on the website, there's a form you can fill in. So we get people, you know, requesting to be a community. And we verify that information to make sure that they're kind of Bitcoin only and legitimate. And then, yeah, we reach out to people, so via social media. We've, you know, had a few other people join, but via us DMing those guys saying, hey, do you want to be part of, put your community on the map effectively? And then we're engaging with some of the big community organizations, particularly here in Europe. We've got Einund Wanzig, which is the German collection of meetups. I think they've got something like 50 or so across Germany and Austria. And then there's the Decor French Bitcoin meetups, then they have similar numbers. And so very soon, I think we've got, well, we've got 115 communities currently on the platform. We'll soon be more like 400 representing people from across the planet. So yeah, it's great to see all the activity coming in from all over the place.
So it sounds like if someone wants to make sure that their business is on BTC Map, there's currently an application, a process they go through, and they do need to be Bitcoin only. That's correct, right?
No, so communities, we're saying Bitcoin only. If you're a merchant and you accept Bitcoin, then that's all we need to know. So if you also happen to accept other flavors, then that's your business. But if you accept Bitcoin, then you have a legitimate place on the map. But it has to be Bitcoin. It can't be, Binance Pay, you've got their app, you know, that you've got to KYC yourself to use and things. So it has to be native Bitcoin. And that's pretty much the only stipulation we have. And so, yeah, if you're a merchant and you already accept Bitcoin, you can do one of two things. You can fill out the form on our website. So just go to btcmap.org. And you can add a merchant. So we just ask for some information, clearly where you are, your position. And that's it. And then if you fill that form out, that will create a ticket that one of the community of what we call the shadowy super taggers, they will pick that information up and they will verify that quickly. And they will then add that information into OpenStreetMap. So maybe your merchant is already in there because of some previous data load, and they just have to tag it with the Bitcoin tags, whether you accept Lightning, on-chain, contactless, those types of things. Or they may have to create, you know, you as a merchant in OSM. Either way, that they will do it. But the other way to do it, and it's not difficult, and we have instructions on the website, is you can just add it directly to OpenStreetMap yourself. So if you went to a particular merchant on OpenStreetMap and you put the correct tags on within 10 minutes, that would then be on the map.
So there are a number of ways that people can get on BTC Map. I'm curious, what is the most popular way that people have gotten on there? Is it that they've previously uploaded their information and you just came in and imported them into BTC Map from this open source? Or are most of these people on the map right now? Because if you pull it up, there's just tons and tons of places. Are they mainly people who have applied to be a part of BTC Map?
Yeah, I think most of those, well, the new ones certainly have come from people submitting their information on the website. Like I said earlier, there was quite a lot of legacy tags in there. I think at legacy locations, I think we had about 5,000 or 6,000 to begin with. That we've built on top of, and so yeah, most of the new ones have come from via the website. But we're also working with the payment providers, so Galoi and Ibex and the likes of Coin Corner to get information about their merchants. So going forward, as they onboard merchants onto their platform, then there'll be integrations into BTC Map in order to get that information on the map as and when they're onboarded. So, yeah, there's a process there to keep up to date with new merchants in a more automated fashion.
Mm-hmm. And before we finish up today's interview, I do want to take a chance to hear a little bit more about the other things you're involved with. I believe it was Gamertron is one of them. And then there was also an element about kids' education. So I'm curious to know a little bit about those things, because it seems like you went all in fast. I'm guessing this is another Bitcoin related thing, but correct me if I'm wrong and explain to us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, for sure. So Gamertron.net is where I first started, actually, with my then 10-year-old son. Who we'd been homeschooling for 3 years at that point. So he's quite techie. He was doing some courses with Cubrio, which is an online school, distribute school with kids from all over the world. It's an excellent resource. And one of the courses that they were doing was game development. So they were using Unity 3D, which is a professional game development platform. And It was about the same time we were doing the I was doing the Bitcoin stuff. And we just started putting QR codes at the end of these games for donations, because these were games that were published to the web. So we set this Gamatron business up, he and I, designing logos, and we did it as a bit of a homeschool project on how to be an entrepreneur. We worked on costs and profits and modeling and things. And then yeah, so he's developed 4 games now, I think. And the last one we did was called Satsman. So you can check that out at sats-man.com. And that's a take on the classic Pac-Man game. But rather than have ghosts chase you, you've got altcoins chasing you. And you've got to eat the Bitcoin. And so we ran that slightly differently. So rather than donations at the end, we actually integrated Bolt 11 Lightning directly into the game. So that meant that at the end of a game, you could pay, I think it was like 1,000 sats, to post your score to a global leaderboard. And then we were doing weekly prize draws. So 1 point equals 1 ticket in the prize draw. So clearly the more points you get, the more chance you have, but everyone has a chance of winning. And then we were doing like a 10, 20,000 sats prize draw each week where we'd select a winner. So that was cool. We had a lot of fun creating that game. So you should play it afterwards and see what your score is. And then just on the education side, because we'd done a lot of homeschooling and hung out with a lot of world schoolers as well when we were traveling, then that was an obvious thing to do. So I developed a Bitcoin for Kids workshop that runs over 3 or 4 hour periods, as in, you know, 1-1-1-1. And we ran some workshops in various different pop-up schools around the world to educate kids on Bitcoin. And it was interesting, actually, because all of the adults kind of lurk around at the back of the room and then come up asking lots of questions afterwards. So it's a great way to orange pill the adults as you're just explaining things to the kids. But the kids themselves, they're much more open-minded than the adults. They've not got lots of things to unlearn about the traditional legacy financial system. They're familiar with digital currencies in games, with Fortnite and Minecraft and all the games they play. So, yeah, they understand digital currencies natively, so it's a lot easier to, you know, explain why Bitcoin is different to them than it is to the grown-ups sometimes.
And for those workshops, are those available anywhere, or was that something that those schools were paying you for? I'm just curious because, you know, if there are any homeschool families right now, or maybe teachers or spouses of teachers listening right now, that would be a really neat thing to be able to send people to if it's available.
Yeah, it's publicly available. So I don't know if you've got any show notes, we can put the links in. But yeah, it's publicly available. I've not run them as online courses. If others are free to do that, should they wish. And I've just done it on a voluntary basis at various different places we've popped up at. So I'd encourage people to, yeah, take the content, improve the content, and deliver it locally wherever they are.
Well, Nathan, thank you so much for sharing today. This has been a very enlightening conversation, and I hope people will take advantage of getting their business listed on BTC Map. Would you share any final thoughts with us that you might have, things that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet, or things you'd just like to reiterate before we finish up our conversation?
I think I'm super keen and interested to be working on BTC Map right now because I'm a big fan of normalizing Bitcoin. It's not just about anonymous handles on the internet. It's about using Bitcoin, and it's not just about holding Bitcoin. You have to do both of those things, you know, spend and replace. And if we want this to be the money that we use, then we're going to have to start using it. We can't just hold it. So go find your local merchant, get them on the map if they accept Bitcoin. And if they don't, just keep asking them every time you buy the coffee, in cash or Bitcoin, and just start normalizing that conversation. And 2 or 3 months down the line, then maybe they'll be accepting Bitcoin.
Perfect. Well, Nathan, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Nathan, you can find our links down in the show notes. And if you want to get your business on the map, reach out to btcmap.org. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.